Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for taking the time to listen. It's Graham here again. Today we're going to be looking at a passage from the Old Testament and verses which will be familiar to many of us. I'm going to be reading from the Message version, and our reading comes from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. This is what it says. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum, but the fact is it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. The book of Isaiah starts with God listing, as it were, through the prophet Isaiah, all his complaints and faults of all the surrounding nations. And yet, as we progress through the book of Isaiah, there is hope. And God begins to promise this figure known as a suffering servant, one who would come appointed by the Lord to make things right, to suffer in place of the nation Israel and bear the sins and iniquities of the land, one who would suffer but to bring healing and restoration and forgiveness. And of course, we know that suffering servant to be none other than the Son of God himself, Jesus, who came and died on the cross. But it wasn't just on the cross he suffered. It was all through his life, his ministry, the King who came to serve, the King who came to suffer, the King who came to bear the weight of the sin and the pain and the brokenness of a world that had got lost and had gone astray and was facing within itself the consequences of so many bad decisions. Speaking to my son Jacob today, he's 15, and he's counting down already to the day when he can send off for his provisional driving license. He's really excited at this prospect. I'm just filled with dread and fear. But it got me thinking about my own driving test and just the horror that really was. Mine was at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning through the streets of Glasgow. Not an easy challenge. But as you drive about following the instructions of the driving instructor, or should I say the driving examiner, taking all the left turns and the right turns and the stopping and the going up the hills and all the things you have to do, it's a daunting experience because he just sits there and says nothing apart from giving these instructions, says nothing to you. But after you've made every manoeuvre and looked in your mirror and signalled, he would just constantly pen down and start scribbling away. Then he would look up and 2 minutes later, he'd be scribbling away and you're trying to work out, I wonder what I've done that time. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What is it that he's seeing and analysing and critiquing? You know, sometimes we're guilty of viewing God a wee bit like that. The God is just the silent partner who just watches us, who sits next to us through life and who just scribbles away every time we get it wrong, every time we fail, every time we we don't do something we should do, and every time we've had a bad thought or an angry word or whatever it is we've done, he just scribbles. And doesn't just scribble, but probably tuts and shakes his head and looks disapprovingly and is always disappointed because we never quite reach the score. And we just think God is our number one critic. This passage, and as we consider Lent and prepare for Good Friday and Easter, reminds us that we have a Saviour who didn't come to criticise and condemn, who didn't come to write us off, who didn't come to pick out all our faults and shame and blame, but a Saviour who was willing to take upon himself all our pain, all our failings, all our weaknesses, all our woundedness, all our hurts, all our disappointments. He was willing to take all these things from us and bear the weight and the consequences of them within himself. You know, there's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 that talks about how the Spirit of Jesus spoke to the prophets like Isaiah and prophesied the sufferings that he would one day bear. Think about that. Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before Jesus came and suffered and died. But 700 years before that historic occasion, Jesus' own spirit was telling the prophets like Isaiah, who had ears to hear him, telling them what he was going to do, what he was going to endure, how he was going to suffer, and how he was going to bring healing and salvation. Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus' suffering, wasn't an accidental afterthought. It wasn't something that had gone horribly wrong. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction that God just came out with. But hundreds of years beforehand, even as all these nations at the start of Isaiah were messing up and screwing up and just causing havoc, God knew his solution. God knew that through his suffering servant, the Son of God, God the Son coming in the flesh to say, I will take the pain, I will take the blame, I will take the guilt, I will take the woundedness of a broken world that's got it wrong. He suffered for us. He suffered for you. He's carried our burdens. He's taken our punishment. He's borne our pain. He was bruised so that we might be healed. He was crushed under the burden of our sins, not just on the cross, but still he takes upon himself our woundedness and our brokenness and our hurts and our pain. So no, God is no driving examiner type person, scribbling away, shaking his head, disapproving, never satisfied. He's a God who feels our pain, who feels our brokenness, who enters into our woundedness, who, like a loving father, says, come, let me shoulder that burden. Let me carry your weight. Let me go through the pain so that you might be healed and restored and forgiven and set free and given new life. So this Easter time, this Lent period, let's not be holding it all in. Let's not be still trying to run away from God and hide away in shame. Let's not be putting on a mask before him as if we're doing better than we really are. Let's not be trying to kid on to him that all is well and we have no brokenness and pain and infirmity in our life. But let's come at the invitation of a Saviour who says, give it to me. Give it to me, for God has piled all our sins, it says, everything we have done wrong on him, that we don't have to carry the weight of the guilt and the shame and the memory of it any longer. The suffering servant, he bears our suffering. He suffers in our place, that our suffering may come to an end. Come to your Saviour and pour your pain upon him, for his shoulders are broad enough to carry all the weight that we are unable to. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that hundreds of years before you even entered planet Earth in the flesh, you knew what you were going to do. You had resolutely set your mind on coming to bring salvation and healing and restoration to our worlds. And even in the midst of all its brokenness and evil and chaos and pain, you knew you would step down to be like a magnet and absorb all that was wrong upon yourself, supremely as you died on the cross that Good Friday. So Lord, forgive us when sometimes we still have mistaken ideas about you, that we sometimes think you're our number one critic, our harshest judge, the one who's most disappointed in us in life. And help us instead to see you again of the one who walks alongside us, saying to us, give it to me, pass it to me, pour it out on me, for I have died that you might live. I have been wounded that you might heal. And may we enter into your grace and your forgiveness and your love and your life. In Jesus' name we pray.